every day when I put on the television, look at my email, some of the junk in social media, just when I think the world can't be any more nuttier, well, guess what? It is.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
This is going to be one of those programs that, in all honesty, I have got so much on my mind and my heart to share with you, I don't even know where to begin. I'm going to ask you to kind of bear with me. This is one of these kind of radio programs today where I don't know whether to be mad, angry, upset, go off for a good cry somewhere, or just have a great laugh. I'm watching the world go into self-destruct mode. This nation in particular, the silly stuff that is coming out of Washington, D.C., these double-minded fools that run this country, the silly and stupid things we tolerate, how did we ever let these people get into office? Maybe I understand. I've been to some places in some of the districts, the type where Nancy Pelosi got voted in, the type where Jerry Nadler can just get a free ride. Yeah, I've been there. The places that vote in the double-minded tend to be double-minded themselves. It just goes along with it. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. I want to talk about the double-mindedness of not just the politicians that lord over us with their wonderful wisdom, or they think they're wise. You know, they're the sophomoric. They're also, according to the Bible, fools professing themselves to be wise. Yes, I'm a good Catholic, but I support abortion. I'm wise. The Bible says you're a fool. I'm losing patience, and I decided to take this program today, and especially since it's now on KVOH in Los Angeles. And I'm going to say a few things. I hope it doesn't sound too rough. Believe me, I love my Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm trying to honor and serve him. But I'm also trying to be honest with you with the things that I'm seeing today. A lifetime of broadcast, a lifetime of media, and many, many years of ministry. You kind of learn to get, you know, a detector going on for, shall we say, things that don't smell right. The media in this country is morally, intellectually, and journalistically bankrupt for the most part. When I say media, I'm talking NBC, ABC, CBS, and I'm talking CNN, MSNBC, all the major newspapers, the Washington Post, New York Times, Chicago Tribune, just go down the whole list, virtually all of them. This may be news to some of you if you've never heard it before. If you go back to the year 2000, it was pretty bad that we had only about 100 companies that controlled 90% of all media that people would see. Let me review that number again. About 100 corporations controlled 90% of all the media in the United States. Prior to that, you had hundreds of companies, and prior to that, thousands of independent voices all over the United States, whether radio, TV, newspaper. Today, in 2021, it's six companies operate and control 90% of your media. And they don't do it. This is something you need to start. We really need to get a grasp on this. When it comes to the six corporations, honesty, integrity, and accuracy are not in their lexicon. They don't know, they don't care, never have, never will in these recent years. They have an agenda. They want to be wealthy, and they do it all for the money. Whatever sells is what they're trying to put on the media, what they're trying to feed to you. Much of this decline, especially on the radio side, and I have more background in radio, and I've been close to it for 49 years this year, later this year, 49 years. Hard to believe that in 2022, I'll celebrate 50 years in the broadcast business. But here's the deal. In 1996, some people thought it happened under Reagan, but it really didn't. 1996, President Bill Clinton signed the new Telecommunications Act of 1996. It had been pushed for quite a long time, and corporate America wanted to lift the caps of how many radio stations you could own, and TV stations, and some of the cross-pollination issues with newspapers. They wanted to make a radical departure in 1996. Now remember, this is the infancy, the beginnings of the internet. Most people in 1996, if they had internet at all, it was that really slow dial-up for America Online, where it said, you've got mail. We didn't have the World Wide Web as such as we know it today. We had some bulletin board sites, and if you didn't know what you were, there was really no search engines. It was really in its beginning days. But the future was coming, and I think those in the technocracy understood it. And I think those that held on to broadcast properties were concerned about it. And so the idea came along to remove the caps as we knew them. Now, when I was first starting 49 years ago, I think my memory is correct, you could own 7 AM and 7 FM and 7 TV stations. You could only own one of each type in a market. In other words, you could have 1 AM, 1 FM, and for a while, 1 TV, and even that got knocked out, where you could have an AM, FM and had to sell off the TV or sell off the radio, whichever. Then it became 10. That wasn't such a big deal by the late 70s or somewhere in there where you could have 10. But this change that came along in 1996, 10 disappeared. It became an unlimited number of stations. You just couldn't have more than 50% of the rating share of a market at the time you're buying the stations. Doesn't mean after the fact. I mean when you buy the stations. And so companies started to acquire broadcast properties, a lot of them. There was a company called JCOR Communications that comes to mind, then another upstart company called Clear Channel Communications. They were buying up, Clear Channel was buying up stations in Ohio and other markets. Not most of them weren't big, and then they got some financing on Wall Street. Now, just stop and think for a moment. They got some big bucks on Wall Street with an IPO. And the next thing they're going into markets like Tampa, Florida, and buying up a bunch of radio stations in one town. Did the same in Miami, did the same in other cities all over the United States. I guess they have like 1,000 radio stations now. And they have some of the most influential radio properties in the country. They even bought out JCOR, which had acquired a pile of them over the years. And before you knew it, you had ABC, Cap Cities, and others that kept getting bought out, resold, and whatever. And now you're down to a handful of companies that own the majority of the radio stations and have the majority of the ears of anybody listening to radio. Now, this presents a problem. You just have a handful of companies controlling most of the major markets, like a Washington, D.C., a Baltimore, Maryland, New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Miami, Atlanta, Dallas. Name any other major city, and they've got between a handful of companies, 3 or 4, they've got them all. That also restricts the number of voices and types. Many music radio stations are mere cookie cutters of other formats that they've developed at the home office. The disc jockey or radio announcer you think you're hearing somewhere in Texas, Atlanta, is probably sitting in Minneapolis, and he's hosting more than one radio station. Everything he is telling you has been pre-recorded, but it sounds live. He's telling you what the song is. He's even telling you, you know, some of the events in your community. But he's not there. That's a computer sitting there at the radio station. So let's talk about one of the things that really hit me. Remember, in the radio industry, how many of you that listen to me, whether by podcast or on the radio, many of you have gotten used to listening to talk radio, which was a growing entity in the 1980s, late 1980s, let's be honest. A new program came on that shook up the entire radio industry in a day. Rush Limbaugh. The Rush Limbaugh Show. It became the fastest growing talk radio show in the United States. And before long, he was on a pile of radio stations. He's also one of the, he's the most listened to talk show radio host in the United States. Ratings, my friend, ratings, the numbers game. The thing is, his radio show is distributed by the Premier Radio Network. Premier Radio Network is owned by iHeartRadio, formerly known as Clear Channel. They're all tied at the hip. And so you'd have in a market like, I'll just say Atlanta, for example, or some others I've been in, you know, one of their, they may own five radio stations, maybe six or seven. They'll throw Rush Limbaugh and the conservative talk guys on AM, and they got all the other stuff on their FMs. Country, rock and roll, hip hop, you name it. They're just formats. They're just means for making money. And frankly, they didn't really care much about what Rush had to say or anybody else over the years, whether it be when Laura Ingraham was on radio, I mean the stations that took her and others. But see, something has just happened. Something I really was surprised to see within the industry. Media companies are now jumping on the let's get woke, let's get politically correct bandwagon, let's not make Joe Biden unhappy. Cumulus Radio, which, by the way, has got more financial problems than any other company that I know in the broadcast business. It is basically a bankrupt company, period. Financially speaking, and they're keeping, they're doing the reorganizing thing. And they're so scared now. They no longer, see, it's an Atlanta-based company. They have 416 radio stations, and many are running a talk format with the national talk show host, many that you hear on a regular basis. Well, Cumulus Media sent out an internal memo to their employees not long ago. This came out of Inside Music Media and some other broadcast trade publications, saying that we need to help induce a national calm, and they will no longer tolerate any suggestion that the election has not ended or any toleration that it could have even been rigged or problems or anything else. They're saying that election fraud will no longer be tolerated in terms of you can't say there was. You have to accept that every election in every state was completely honest and above board. There was no errors, no mistakes. Dead people did not vote. All of that nonsense. You have to believe that, or you face termination. If you work, talk show hosts like Mark Levin, Dan Bongino, they're being told to tone it down or face termination. I'm going to say this, and I'm trying to find the polite words. Believe me, I am. The companies that own the media have no soul. They have no morals. They have no scruples. It's all about the money. In 2000, when George W. Bush became president and Al Gore did not, Al Gore raised a lot of money from a lot of his friends, some in the media business, to launch what was called Air America. It was going to be the competition to all the, quote, right-wing talk radio. They were going to show the world how talk radio should be done, and they were going to have the stuff that people really wanted to listen to. They were going to show New York how talk radio should be done. Los Angeles, all the big cities, they were going to go in there and they were going to be on the radio. I'm going to tell you a little side story here. This is a true story. Back in the early 1990s, shortly after I was ordained into the ministry, I was asked if I would serve as the assisting pastor, for lack of a better term, at a church in Palm Beach, Florida, actually West Palm Beach. They were looking for somebody that could both produce a radio show, you know, and I mean, all the production, all the getting it ready and putting it, it's just a local show at that time. And I went to visit the radio station. I actually even found a house that I could afford. And I thought about leaving my job at the time with a Christian college and going down there and working this Monday through Friday job. The hours were not bad. It was, you know, not bad for me at all. And I would have time with this job to be the associate pastor of a church. I can't remember what year. It just escapes me. It probably was like 1996. Maybe. Yeah, it would have to be early 1996. My wife and I actually flew down. We were supposed to be there for a couple of days. It ended up being a week, which was fine. February or March, whatever it was great in Palm Beach, West Palm Beach, Florida. And, you know, that we talked and I thought about taking the job until I met the radio host and listened to the program that they were running. It was a live and local show in West Palm Beach on WJNO. And the radio host was Randy Rhodes. Obviously, her politics and mine were 180 degrees apart, and I really felt that, you know, this is never going to work. You know, I don't sell my soul. I don't sell my standards. I can't do it. The money would have been great, but there's some things, even in a tent-making ministry, you cannot and will not and should not do. And producing her program would have been one. And here's the best part. Thank you, Lord. It wasn't long when you think about it. Let's say I'd gone there. Her show stayed successful. It is, after all, Palm Beach, Democrat-controlled, very woke, many ways anti-Christian in some respects. Let's say I had taken the job, and let's say I had just swallowed my pride and made the money. It would have been hard to turn down that offer to go to New York to launch Air America. I probably would never have gone there, but I'm just saying that's where she went. And then they bought on, you know, other people like Al Franken, and I can't remember the rest of the cast of characters, but the network, they had all this money. They bought all this time on radio stations. They launched. And they fell flat on their face and went bankrupt in about a year. People didn't care about what they had to say. And so the money people figured out there's no money in that kind of radio at that time. And so they put all their efforts into conservative radio. It wasn't for the fact that they liked conservative radio. They hated it. I know a lot of people that I've known in the radio business at Premier Radio Network on the technical side, and ABC Cumulus on the technical side, that definitely hate conservatives. They're non-Christian people. They don't like them. They think they're a bunch of idiotic rubes. Isn't that sad? But see, these companies like iHeartRadio, it's about the money. Cumulus, it's about the money. And now, what Cumulus has done, number one, their leadership tolerated all this conservative stuff, but they're trying to win the approval and happiness and peace of Joe Biden and who he appoints at the FCC. And by toning the rhetoric down, so to speak, they're going to be able to probably do better with the FCC. And they're going to compromise for the sake of money, as any business of that type does. As they said in the memo written by Vice President Brian Phillips of Cumulus, if you transgress this policy, they're not going to tolerate it. We will not even tolerate any suggestion of election issues. If you transgress this policy, you can expect to be separated from the company immediately. Look, last week, and Cumulus did this before Google, Apple, and Amazon made their big stink last week, shutting down Parler. And I don't care what anybody says. Think about this for a minute. Twitter, you know, the short messaging to the world entity, had its first competition ever in a company called Parler. And three tech giants colluded together. Yes, remember the word colluded together to shut the competition down for their friend over there at Twitter. Google and Apple took the app out of their store. Then Amazon, well, they were being paid to host it. And they just said, hey, we're shutting you off. We're pulling the plug Sunday night at midnight, this past Sunday. And, you know, it's going to be, you can't just rebuild and restart in a day. It's going to take days, a week, maybe 10 days. You know, the complaint was that Parler does not do enough to moderate its content, which they claimed included incitements by Trump to violence, which never happened. You know, it's funny. I look at some of the stuff that is out there that you can buy on Amazon. I look at some of the websites that are hosted by big tech, like Pornhub. You know, one-third of all internet traffic in any given day is pornography, and some of that is child porn. Nobody seems to care about that. We just care about Trump bad, conservatives just no good. There are people I know. Pro-Trump lawyer Lynn Wood has made some really outrageous statements, and I have to wonder about his stability myself at times. I don't know what he's up to. I don't get it. There's a lot of absurdities on both sides, and I'm not following. Maybe now I understand why the White House suddenly, quickly pushed Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell off to the side. Maybe. I don't know the particulars. I'm not trying to say yay or nay. But there have been some outrageous statements that there's been no follow-up. I could be wrong. But I'm just saying that we've risen to a place where it's not so much anymore. And I want stop and listen to me carefully on this. It's not so much about what is right or wrong, especially in the corporate world. Right or wrong is irrelevant. It becomes a relative thing. If it's good for the bottom line, it's a good thing. And in this respect, up until, a couple of weeks ago, there was good money to be made off conservative talk radio by the big boys at Premier Radio Network and the folks at Cumulus and iHeartRadio and others. They more than tolerated it because they got one of the highest commercial rates for those minutes that they were selling. They're incredibly expensive to buy airtime. They're making a lot of money. But they also looked at where their bread is buttered, and that is the FCC for the radio stations that they own. And companies like Cumulus and even iHeartRadio, with more than their share of debt issues and problems, they need a friend at the FCC, not an enemy. And by making all this noise now, all they're trying to do is win favor with the Biden administration, and ultimately, sometime by February, whenever they get around to appointing the new chairperson at the FCC, they're going to need help. And by scratching the back of Biden, they might just get it. Yesterday I talked about, we got a break coming up in a few minutes, but I just need to share this. We talked about double-mindedness. And I made a big deal about Nancy Pelosi, but there are others. She's just, you know, the one that is out there that is so obvious and so much on the TV. I am a good Catholic. I go to Mass, and I believe that it's all right. It's okay. And the government should help pay for it, too, because it is women's health to kill babies in the womb. That's double-mindedness. You know, God says, here's my standard. And you look at God and said, I don't like your standard. I want it, but I want all your benefits, but I refuse to abide by your standard. I refuse to live by your word. God, you kind of work for me because I'm an important person in D.C., don't you understand? This is what we're fighting in the world today. If you're a new listener to this program and podcast, and I apologize for going as long as I've gone, but I just, these things need to be said, and I've got a few more things I want to continue to say in this program. On Wednesday, today, this program airs on WRMI two different times, 4 p.m. in the afternoon Eastern Time and 6 p.m. It does not air at the 10 o'clock. It only airs at 10 o'clock Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. But this program now airs on KVOH in Los Angeles, a shortwave facility whose coverage takes this program into places it never, well, there's a little bit of an overlap, but in places we never got to before. Coming out of Florida with the two antenna systems, or actually it's the one antenna system we use, the signal to the west is only good when you get way to the northwest. The signal in California, unfortunately, still with KVOH and WRMI is still not that good. In Nevada, the same thing. Utah. But now, for the first time, we have a good signal into Texas and Louisiana, southern Alabama, south Georgia, the state of Florida. So one thing I'm getting from KVOH, it's not cheap, but this is extra coverage. And we also are reaching pretty much the entire Caribbean. When you think of Central America, places like Mexico, Belize, Costa Rica, Panama. Now, there are a lot of expats that live, I hear, in Panama. We reach there. And parts of northern South America. And most of the Caribbean islands as well. Now, we'll know at the end of this month if this was a wise move. We're trying this for this month and next month to see if there's a response and an audience to KVOH at 9975 kilohertz. You can let me know one of two ways. Go to our website, which is truthtoponder.com. That's truth and the number two ponder. Truth, the number two, ponder.com. You can find out about the program, and you can even hear the program. It'll give you links to where you can hear it as a podcast at the moment. I'm going to talk about that in the next half hour. There's some important stuff I've got to talk about. You can find out there if you want to help this program and pay for some of the airtime. As I've told you before, I am not paid. I don't make anything out of this. I'm not paying any bills out of this except the airtime bills and the little tiny amount that I pay on the podcasting. That's it. The web hosting, I'm taking care of myself. You can help us there, whether it's a $5, $10, whatever you can spare from the website, or if you rather use a physical check, you can make it out to Ancient Word Radio. I've been running a little online Christian radio station for about 3 years called Ancient Word Radio, and I produce this program under that. Ancient Word Radio, and we're at our Georgia home right now. We don't have any kind of a building. We work out of our house. Just me and my wife. And the address here is 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, 21 Berkshire Lane. We are in the community of Sky Valley, two words, Sky Valley. The state is Georgia. Zip code is 30537. Now, let me give that address again. I think I forgot part of it. 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263. Now, that 263, the mail here is kind of different in this small community. They have a centralized box system. And even though that is my physical address, the 21 Berkshire, they would like you to add the number 263. It's not exactly a P.O. box number, but they like that because that's how they sort the mail. So 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, Sky Valley, Georgia. Zip code is 30537. That's 30537. You know, when I come back, I've been doing a lot of praying and a few things that need to be said, but I wanted to let you understand where the world is going. Appeasing the new powers that be. Tech tyrants that are nothing but oligarchs that are deciding to be the minister of truth. They want to control the conversation. Have you ever thought about the power that Facebook and Twitter and Google and Amazon have over your life? It's not just the shopping from Amazon. They're running server space, and thank the Lord, I am not on any of their space. I'm not, you know, I'll tell you in the next half hour, I have a Google Gmail account, but I don't use it for anything important anymore. All my junk mail goes to Gmail. Let them deal with it. When we come back, I want to change gears a little bit. Instead of talking about all the negative, I want to talk about how we can be ready for some very different, you know, different times that we're about to face. There's nothing, you know, Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to say it to you, fear not. Let me tell you that again, fear not.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Little prayers and big wallets coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Now John Rice once wrote that his six daughters would sometimes gather around him and tell him all their needs. Their need for shoes, money for music lessons, and all sorts of other things. Sometimes he'd feel compelled to say, "Go easy, girls, I'm not made of money. We'll just have to get what we can afford and we'll go without the rest." But you know, you never read in the Bible a verse that says, go easy. God never says, go easy. I don't have that much to give. I've already been pushed to the limit giving to others. I've spent most of my savings answering the prayers of other people. So give me a break. Limit your prayer request to just one item. Make it small. Go easy. Now, you'll never find anything like that in God's word. God never tells you to be humble about your prayer request. He tells you, ask what you will. You see, it's not humble to limit your prayer request. It's not humble to ask for little or nothing. To ask for little or nothing is to say either you don't trust him, you don't really believe he's got the stuff, you don't really believe his love or grace, or you don't really need his help. See, to be humble in your prayer request isn't humble. It's actually a sin of doubt and self-sufficiency. God never says, go easy. He says instead, go all out. Go for the highest. Seek the best. Seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given you. Knock and the door shall be open. Don't commit the sin of little prayer requests. Lay all your needs at his feet with faith and confidence in his riches and love. Because prayer and the love of God are two things with which you can't afford to go easy. Now, here's something for you. You'll be blessed with a mystery hidden for 2,000 years in the sands of Israel, better than Raiders of the Lost Ark, and it's real. The mystery of the temple doors, you'll love it. And Sapphire's your daily spiritual vitamin supply for a victorious life in God. How do you get these gifts? It's all free, and it's so easy. Just remember Jesus' Hebrew name, Yeshua, and dial it. That's all you do. Just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. You'll be so blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, I invite you to minister with me and bring in the good news back to the people who gave it to you, Israel and the unreached peoples of every tribe and tongue on five continents. You'll be so blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct, the nice Jewish boy at Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. That's the nice Jewish boy at Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah, Ravinu, our teacher.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to part two of the Wednesday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. We started this program as a weekday program back on the 31st of August, which was a Monday. We've been on the air September, October, November, December, and now we're almost halfway through the month of January. I'm having a hard time thinking I did as many programs in a few months as I used to do in over a year with just the weekend show. And for those that are curious of where this show started, why I'm doing this, very simple. When I started the weekend show, it was actually 6 years ago, the beginning of next month, February. So I was already finishing up my 6th year, and we have our anniversary coming up for your weekend show that started the precursor for this program. I was working at a different place at that time, and it just seemed like the thing to do to really use shortwave radio, which I still believe is a powerhouse. A lot of people I know listen to this program as a podcast. I just got a letter a day or two ago, person saying that they're excited that the program is now on KVOH out of Los Angeles. They've listened as a podcast, but they're going to start tuning around the radio to see if they can find it as well. I would urge you, and this is something I'll talk about in just a moment. You know, for those that do not have a shortwave radio, it is not a major, massive investment at all. In fact, I would highly encourage a multi-band radio in the future. Now, I'm very cautious. If you listen to this program, a lot of people send me material, and from some of my sources, I know they send it just so I can see what the other half is thinking on, whether it be to the extreme left or extreme right. So much misinformation has been battered about since the election, which makes taking the real claims of problems more difficult. See, what I do not understand is who makes up this stuff that ends up being so untrue. Are they doing that to do in something or to make people look bad? Think about this for a moment. Everything from people that claim to be prophets of God that said that Trump would win in November. Well, okay, it'll all change by the 12th of December. One guy put his whole reputation on it. Another guy said the same thing. There were several that said that by the end of December, it'll all be taken care of. He recently issued an apology email to all those that follow him. And I'm sorry, the apology was a little bit shallow. It's, you know, I don't want to hear this I misunderstood stuff. if you did not know from God that you had this prophecy, then you need to shut your mouth. I can't say it any more politely. There are too many people that have these words of wisdom from God, and I can think of about a dozen right now that I kind of follow just out of curiosity. Every one of them has been wrong to date. Now, am I making a mockery of prophecy? Of course not. Absolutely not. But those that use it to make money, build a email base, I do have an issue with. I worked for a ministry that'll go unnamed at the moment, and I worked there for a little over a year, and that's about all I could stand. There was enough false prophecies allowed to go out on that program. And that was, wow, what a mess that was. I'm glad to be out of there. Reinventing themselves, changing what God's saying. The Holy Spirit said, do this. Oh, do this. Oh, no, wait, we're going to do that now. We got to move out of the country. No, let's buy a shopping center. No, let's buy a building. Let's move. Let's rent. That's in just a few months. I knew I had to get out of there. They were given such opportunity for ministry, and I'm realizing that this week, 5 years ago, I was on an island in the Caribbean where a wonderful ministry opportunity of a radio station, a powerhouse, was off the air, was apparently supposedly donated. It's still off the air. It's like it's not important anymore. Of course, back then they were talking about the importance of having such a facility in the Caribbean. I guess it's not important. It's not on. And nothing's been said since. I believe in shortwave radio because there are going to be times, for various reasons, that these tech tyrants who have now flexed their muscle just a little bit, understand the problem with many of the tech tyrants and oligarchs. The old saying, and I'm not trying to be partisan, but I want to just say this. Back in the day, everybody said, you know, those Republicans are all about the wealthy and the bankers and you know, the rich people, the country club set. Well, maybe that was true in the 1920s. But it certainly isn't true today. The big bankers like, oh, I don't know, Bank of America, Wells Fargo Bank, Chase, just to name three, Morgan Stanley, all of them. They're run by Democrats. They're ultra liberals. They love money more than anything else. They love money before God. Trust me on that. They're clamping down too on anybody that supports conservatives. Isn't that amazing? They're flexing their muscle now too, trying to gain favor of the Biden administration. It's time to make money again with no morals. That's what it sounds like to me. When you think of some of the wealthiest people, Jeff Bezos, Amazon, Democrat. He's the guy that shut Parler down off his servers. Yet he doesn't care about some of the other products and things that he sells or hosts on his servers. Twitter had no trouble allowing the narrative while police cars are burning and buildings are burning. Black Lives Matter, Antifa riots, you know, that was all right to use Twitter and Facebook to gather more people to burn down more buildings. That was good. I am not excusing a lot of what happened a week ago today. Trust me, I'm not. Actually, a little over a week ago now. I'm not excusing it at all. Bad actors should be treated as such. But the media is more than happy to say that 100% of them had to be bad Trump people. Well, some of them ended up being Antifa, we know. The media doesn't want you to know it, but it's there are pictures out there. And then we're not talking Photoshop stuff. One of the guys you saw was a failed actor living with his parents. A lot of people did a lot of stupid things. There are a lot of anarchists out there that have no allegiance to any party. They just hate government. Yeah, let's go to the rally and, you know, do something really stupid. And they did. They didn't help the cause at all. And what they effectively did, and I've had theories in the back of my mind I can't prove. I begin to wonder, was this a planned event to shut down the idea of revealing the steal? We spend a lot of time in Georgia. We live in Florida. And Florida seemed, for a state of 23 million people, to have no issue getting their job done quickly and efficiently. Of course, they didn't allow the overflow of easy-to-obtain fraudulently mail-in ballots either. And having had enough issues in the past, they were not about to let any issue occur this time. And who won Florida? I think we all do. Georgia has not necessarily been trending more Democrat. It just happens to have a growing city of Atlanta. And big cities tend to trend Democrat, sadly. And they trend Democrat because companies moved out of New Jersey, Massachusetts, New York, and other locations, Michigan, because of the tax burdens and regulations. They come to Georgia. Unfortunately, a lot of the employees they bring with them bring the bad voting habits. They don't understand it was their voting habits that messed up where they came from. And so they blindly just do what they always do. Hey, vote for a, you know, we believe in all this social stuff. I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm going to say it anyway. I know a lot of people on both sides of the political aisle. I've known them for years. And I'm going to go back more like 15, 20 years now. Before we had all this angst and anger that we do today. I really believe that this dividing us has been by design. Who's designing it? I'm not 100% sure, though I have my theories. We have been terminally divided as a nation. And you know, when something is divided, it's easier to control. Whenever, if the country is ever unified, you know, then if we ever get unified, we're going to look at some of the crooks that have been in government and say, why? Go away. Time to vote you out. But we're so divided, we don't even dig deep anymore in some of the candidates we have on either side. Yeah, conservatives, we've voted in some pretty lame people that make the, well, they make the great siren call of why they're get the best person. Then they let us down. I was thinking the other day, and I really did not want to get into really being so political, but I'm just going to share it. I can remember back 1972, a little over 48 years ago now, I voted for the very first time in Summit County, Ohio. I was attending school. I had moved there. I'd left home. And I voted for, can you guess? It wasn't McGovern. I voted for Richard Nixon. Because even I had the common sense as an 18-year-old that, you know, this $1,000 the government's going to give, it's got to come from somewhere. And I had been raised that there's no such thing as a free lunch. Over the years, I have generally, with the exception of one election, voted for Republicans. And in 48 years, I can only think of 12 years I was content in terms of the president. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. Even some congressmen and senators have sorely disappointed me over these years. And what I'm trying to teach you or share with you is stop putting your trust in princes or in people. The Bible makes it clear. Don't put your trust in princes. In other words, political leaders or the sons of men, you know, just people. There's no salvation in them. Put your trust in God. Too many Christians today are trying to win the spiritual war at the ballot box. They're trying to win a spiritual argument on Facebook. They're trying to convert the world on Twitter. And the world laughs at them. You're not changing anybody's mind. These are places you go to keep reinforcing what you believe, because all you're going to do is stir them. It's like hitting a hornet's nest. Nobody is persuaded on those sites. They have their value for the kingdom. But we've learned last week something that I have been trying to explain since I began this radio show and even on the old show. The Lord laid on my heart about a year ago, and I started talking about it a little bit. Yeah. Do I have a Facebook page for this radio show at the moment? Yes. Is this show on Twitter? Only to let you know a new show is up. And there's not even that many followers, so I really don't care. I never did like Twitter, never have. I used it in my other work in emergency management where there was a reason. I never did like it. It's like playground arguing. People get hot under the collar and I see Christian people using language they shouldn't use. I have come to the point that I recognize our world is on a path that I'm highly doubtful will be changed. The Bible says you sow what you reap, and you reap what you sow. If you sow thistles, you get thistles. You sow wheat, you get wheat. We've been sowing some seeds of our own judgment for almost my entire lifetime that I can remember. And I've been told before, historically, we've been coming to this day. And now we're learning more. You know, there was a time in this nation that at least Christianity wasn't disrespected or spit upon. It is now. There are two things that I do in my life. One is ministry, and the other is this radio show. I'm technically retired, but not really. I don't get paid for this work that I do. I just feel called to do it. This weekend, I'm traveling to the great state of Texas, to the western part of the state. I'll tell you all about the trip when I get back next week. I will tell you that I'm visiting a church. And some good things do come from social media, connecting with like-minded. And I'm going to be honored to be at this church in Lubbock, Texas, this Sunday. Heading out this weekend, I get back real late Sunday night, so I have to record the program for Monday before I leave on Friday. So I hope the program's timely, but I think we'll just deal with issues like this on Monday. We need to have a understanding of the world that we live in and not just respond to all the things that are happening around us. That can be our detriment too. And I plan to bring a message at that church. So far, my mind is leaning toward the lesson from the Old Testament. There had been a dry period of God's hand moving for real. And prophecy, they're just going on day to day, living their lives, being, you know, dealing with the crisis of the day. Kind of sounds like America today. We are so divided as a nation. And those that want to be the masters of our lives are using that division. And those that have control over our technology and our banking are going to use their influence to control us. One of the things that's really disturbing me, the show is out there as a podcast. And, you know, back when I started the radio show, the weekend show, 5 years ago, I never thought much about the podcasting host. But today I'm more deeply concerned than ever about where this podcast is living and I'm really searching hard to find a new place to move these podcasts. Number one, I know that there are at least one advertisement or two before it begins, and I have zero control over the content of that ad. One of the podcast sites I pay for, and I still have an ad thrown in front to which I don't have control. And I always fear it's going to be something in contradiction to what this program truly stands for. I've got to move it. I am blessed where my web host provider is. I don't see an issue there at all. And I'm thankful for the two shortwave stations. Yeah, I pay for the time, but I'm thankful for the reach. And I really want to have more reach. I think that shortwave is going to be that little voice crying in the wilderness before long. There's so much noise on the internet. How do you find something? Had a person write me saying, I never heard of shortwave, but God laid the name, that term on my heart. And in looking for the term, I found your podcast. Now I want to know what a shortwave radio is. Amazing how God is keeping his people tied together. I think that on Friday's program and the weekend program, I'm going to talk about the way we can stay connected in this changing world. Look, Parler went down. I'm on Parler. It went down because the tech tyrants and the oligarchs said it must go down. It must be silenced. They're using excuses like it incites violence. Well, no, Facebook was used for that. Well, you say things that are untrue, like the election may have been stolen. Well, I think that it was myself. I live in Georgia. Trust me. When you mail out ballots, I've got a friend that is spending time looking at some of the addresses of all these phony mail-out ballots and requested ballots. He's finding fields where there's never been a house. But people voted in these fields where there's never been a house. That's their address. Dead people voted. People that don't even live in Georgia voted. So please don't insult my intelligence. I don't know what the situation with Governor Kemp is in this state, but it's very disturbing, and so is his very, very angry Secretary of State and his assistant. You know, when you see that kind of anger and such an effort not to look, or when they say, okay, we'll recount. Well, no, don't recount. We want to see the ballots and the signatures. If you keep recounting phony ballots, you're going to keep getting a phony result. What about this? Do these people not understand? If there are 50,000 junk ballots, you're going to still have 50,000 junk votes in the recount. Spare me. I was born at night, but not last night. Do you believe what I'm trying to do with this program? If you do, I really need your help. Airtime bills are coming due again, and I got to pay them. My wife and I have dug deep in our pocket this week to take care of the ones right now. If you can help, you can do it from the website, or you can mail a regular check by the regular U.S. mail. Make the check out to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio. Our address is 21 Berkshire, Berkshire, 21 Berkshire Lane, add the number 263. 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263. The city is Sky Valley, Georgia. Two words, Sky Valley, the state of Georgia. And the zip code is 30537. That zip again, 30537. 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263. Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.